Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Turn up your volume. This is Unfuck Nation. Now here's your host, Gary John Bishop.
All right. Welcome to this week's episode of Unfuck Nation. I am your host, Gary John Bishop. And as with every other week that we have this show, I am offering you my thanks. Thank you for making what we're doing over here at the Nation a part of your life. And, you know, I know we have listeners from all over the world because I get the freaking emails, right? From Australia and from New Zealand and from all over the United States and from Europe, Poland, from France, from Spain, from the UK. So, you know, no matter where you are in this world, and by the way, in all lots of different parts of Africa too, by the way, but wherever you're listening to us from in the world, I want you to know you are included in my thoughts, that I might not know you, but I know you're out there, and that's good enough for me, right? I saw this curious interview recently, and the name of the guy escapes me. And I'm sure he's somebody a lot more important than me, but I don't take notice of names. But anyway, this guy was doing an interview, and he talked about how kind of like uptight people are, or the culture is, in the United States when it comes to cursing, it comes to swearing. Now, as we both know, I've never found swearing to be much of a problem, right? It just kind of, you know, it seems like a pretty natural effect to throw in there every now and again. And I don't do it consciously. It's just there when I need it. Right. But this person went on to say, you know, like, particularly in the UK, swearing is very much accepted part of society, right? I mean, you know, even on TV, you'll hear curse words, right? Not cable TV, but regular TV. And, you know, just to be clear, this person was talking about the UK. I'm from Scotland, which is the part of the UK where it's generally recognized that swearing is a little more pervasive, right? And in Scotland, I'm from like my city's like the headquarters of swearing and cursing, right? Glasgow. And not only am I from Glasgow, I'm actually from the east end of Glasgow, which is like the epicenter of the entire universe for curse words. So I've never had a problem with it. But I do know there are various studies out there that say people who curse tend to be more authentic, tend to be less likely to lie because they generally feel comfortable enough in their skin that they'll curse no matter who they're talking to, which is definitely me, by the way. I will curse in anyone's company. I don't really, it doesn't bother me, right? And if it bothers you, then I get that, right? Now, it was a few years ago that I finally gave up the ghost. It was a number of years ago. I finally gave up the ghost of trying to be something for other people. Yeah, that's right. I'm getting somewhere, by the way. Just hold on. I had to go through cursing and swearing to get myself here. But it was a number of years ago that I gave up the ghost of being something for others. Well, being something to make others or influence others in such a way that they would like or approve of me, right? Which was a chasm created in childhood. So most of the shit that you're trying to fix about yourself is in one way or another a product of your own childhood, right? I'm not doing a fucking psychology lesson here. I don't do psychology. As I said in last week's show, we do ontology here. You're a being. We talk about your ways of being and ways of acting. But I gave up the ghost of being someone to manipulate others, basically, because that's what it comes down to. It comes down to manipulation. That's why, you know, when I made that comment, fuck, it was about 6 months ago, online about people pleasers being manipulative. And, you know, obviously the people who got most upset about that were the people who are people pleasers. But you have to understand, like, the nature of something like that, right? The nature of pleasing others, it's not open-ended, right? And you'll even see memes about it all over the joint, right? About, you know, being the one who always gives and gets nothing in return, which is, again, just the nature of that statement puts you in the role of being the victim, right? You're the victim of people and what they do, which is part of the plan, by the way, subconsciously. But the other part of that is the manipulation part. You know, people pleasing is an attempt by an individual to have people respond to them in a certain way or other, right? That's all it's about. And when you finally get to the truth about yourself, which is, and I find is a pretty ugly process, right? Getting to the truth about yourself, like the kind of shellac that you've encased yourself in. And again, this is why people get to a certain point in life and they don't know what the fuck to do with themselves. They're like, they don't even recognize who they've become. That's when you've taken so many turns at trying to become something that'll either please people or please the world, or have people respond to you in a certain way, or have the world treat you in a certain way to get results in your career or in your personal life or in your friendships. And so you end up surrounded by and ensconced in an environment that lines up with all that fakery, all of that inauthenticity. So you no longer have your life. You have the life of the facade. And that's what ultimately what that leaves you with is this kind of really profound experience of being unfulfilled. So you really are left like nothing does it for you anymore. And often people who have gotten themselves to that point in life really experience themselves as this observer, but it's not observer in a powerful way. It's like you're watching your life slipping through your fingers in the pursuit of something that you thought when you started this thing would have life work out for you. And then it doesn't work out for you. But you're in that life. And for some of you listening right now, you might be right in that fucking life right now. You might be looking around you like the Talking Head song, you know, like, how did I get here? How did I get here? Well, it's pretty simple. You know, it was a journey that started to fix you. That's it. It's pretty simple. It was a journey that started to fix you. Now, if you line up all the personal growth work in the world, and, you know, I take a certain kind of pride in what we do over here at The Nation, because the work that we do over here is real. It's the real work. This is the work that people do to change and transform their lives. This work. Not some, you know, plaudit, riddled bullshit that's designed to really just make you feel better about bullshit without actually doing anything about it. But, it, you know, as I assert, you can't do anything about your life until you come to an authentic place in it. You can't do anything about your life until you come to an authentic place in it. And when you're there, when you're at that authentic spot, you start to see the complete lunacy of living your life in the pursuit of pleasing or manipulating others. It's just crazy because you end up surrounded by people, like I said, who are drawn to what you're pretending. So you have these kind of like surfacey, bullshitty relationships. They're not the real deal. They're not the real deal. You know, how do I know my relationships are the real deal? You talk about real things. It's not gossip. You actually talk about real things and, you know, what it's like to be a human being and sometimes your struggles and sometimes your victories and you share in each other's victories. But it's not like some complaint fest or gossip fest. It's like real between two people. And I have a number of friendships like that, by the way, a number of them, where there's a real grounding of authenticity. And it's that way because that's who I am in it. Right. And I say that without an ounce of ego. Right. It's that way because it's who I am in it, because those are the conversations that I have. And so what I've found over the years is that people who are drawn to that are authentically drawn to it. And I have the relationships that are absolutely consistent with everything that I am and everything that I value, which wasn't always the case. You know, I've had friendships, I've had acquaintances, relationships even, that were a function of who I was trying to be. And you might be there right now. You might look around at your own life and think, fuck, I mean, half of these people, if I was authentically being myself, they wouldn't hang around. That's right. They would not hang around. Now, you can't fucking blame them for that. You can't blame them for that. You can't, you know, it's one, I guess it's something, you know, I used to come across a lot. When people want to make these big shifts in their life, right? And there's this kind of mini rebellion going on around them. And it seems like, you know, people don't want you to win or something. Which is one of the most infantile observations. You just don't want me to win. You're just a hater. No, you're in the business of shifting who you are. They don't know how to relate to you anymore. And it's fucking unsettling when people do that. It's really unsettling. You don't know how to relate to them. You don't know where to meet them. It's almost like you have to start a brand new relationship with them all over again, based in something else, which is really, really fucking challenging because no one has the skills or the knowledge to get whatever was before complete. Right? That's a big part of what Love Unfucks all about. You know, in that book, we talk about the instance of when a relationship is breaking down. Can you bring it back to life? And I say, no, you can't bring it back to life, but you can create something new. But you can only create something new by doing the work to complete what was. So in the instance of relationships, it's usually something like infidelity. You know, can a relationship survive infidelity? No, it can't. So you have to get the infidelity complete. And with getting it complete, you have to look at, like, okay, what were all the old promises we made to one another, both spoken and unspoken? What was expected of one another? How was that trashed? What was the impact of that being trashed on both people? And then you talk that out until there's no more talking to be done. No more talking to be done until you're both exhausted by it. When that's done, you're at a space of nothing. There's nothing more to say about it. There's nothing more to say about what once was. Now, this is true in life, what I'm saying here. It's true in every aspect of life, every avenue of life. If you want to create something new, you have to get complete what was. But there's something magical happens when you truly get something complete. The first thing you'll notice is there's no desire to go back. There's nothing left there to say. It's all been said. And it's all been said to the point of satisfaction. It's not like, yeah, it's all been said and I don't want to say it again, but it's still fucking annoying me. No, it's actually been said to the point of satisfaction. There's nothing left to defend. What happens is, what are you left with? You're left with this experience of yourself, right? And both people will experience it. But if you do the work on yourself, by the way, you're not even in a fucking relationship, you can have the same experience. You're at the point of nothing. There's a space, a void, if you will. And in that void, you get to create something new. So if you try on the idea that, you know, when you're growing up in life, you're not creating a self. A self is getting created, but it's all reaction. Stimulus and reaction. So you end up with a version of yourself, but not you. So much like you do in relationships, when you do that work on yourself to get complete, which, you know, if you've read one of my books, then, you know, there's always bits in every one of my books about getting complete about this thing or that thing and how to get complete. You're left with that opening, that space within which to create. When you do that work on yourself, what you're creating is who you are. And then it's an authentic creation because you're creating who you now are, which means you interact with people in the world from a different place, which brings me all the way back to the cursing thing, right? I'm hardwired to care about what you think of me, but I'm transformed enough not to sit in that. I'm hardwired for you to think well of me. But when you don't, I get over it real quick, like super quick. Like I realize that everybody's living in their own little bubble. And when I'm living my life, the only thing that really matters to me is that my little bubble is an authentic one. It's of my creation. That is to say, who I am is of my creation. I created myself, right? Like, that is to say, who I would say I am to someone. If you ask me, you know, who are you? I wouldn't just say my fucking name or what I do. I'd literally tell you who I am. And who I am is compassion. And who I am is honesty. And who I am is inspiration. And who I am is love. And who I am is a man of integrity. And I created all of those things. And I hold myself to all of those things because to me, those things are really fucking important to me. But I'm not bent out of shape if you don't think that's important. That's okay. I'm not bent out of shape if you don't like that. That's okay too, because it's my creation. It's who I am. But that works both ways because then I start to honor who you are. Even if it's not a created phenomenon, even if you're just being your fucking default self, I honor that. That's fine. That's okay. That's who you are. It's who you've become. I don't try to change it. I don't try to resist it. I'm not necessarily going to get any some kind of fucking, you know, square dance with it. I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to be, you know, I might not want to be around that. I got other things to do. And I find, you know, even with people I've coached over the years, you know, so fucking hamstrung on being perceived in the wrong way. But haven't you noticed, like, even with all that fucking work you do to have people treat you this way or that way, they still do what they fucking want anyway. There's still people that don't fucking like you. There's still people that don't approve of you. So fuck it. What have you got to lose by being yourself, by being a created you, by saying who you are and holding yourself to account for that? Isn't that what fucking matters? Isn't it way more important for you to show up in this life as something of your own creation, of your own volition, that you are the you that you say you are, not the you that you have become by default? Does that mean everything will go smoothly? No. Does it mean there'll be no problems? No. But you'll be able to put your head on the pillow and you'll be able to die satisfied one of these days. Because in spite of it all, you were just you. All right, we're going to take a short break here. We're coming back, by the way, with a question from the nation. The questions have still been rolling in over the weeks here. But I thought this week I'll reintroduce a question because I just got some really fucking good ones recently and some pretty juicy ones. So I wanted to dive right in there. So I'm going to come back with a question for the nation. If you want to be part of the show, that is to say, if you have a question or some item or subject you would like me to take on over here, 646-450-3203, 646-450-3203. You can text me or leave a voicemail there, or alternatively, connect at Gary John Bishop. I will be back in just a moment.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right. Welcome back to the second part of the show. This is the part of the show where I'm going to take a question from the nation. This one came in the form of a voicemail. This person did not leave their name, but that's okay, right? As usual, I'll do what I do when I get a question or some life problem that somebody's dealing with. I will spread the insight as far as I possibly can to give everybody something out of it. Because as you know, when we take these questions, it's not really about the question. It's more like seeing how the philosophy applies to any situation in life, right? So anyway, this person says, "Hi, Gary." And by the way, this is a kind of long question, which again, points to something, but we'll get to it. "Hi, Gary. I have a question. I've been working on transforming all of my relationships for 2 years, and it has been amazing. There is only one relationship that I still feel is incomplete, and that is with my mom. I began the transformation of how I view her when I read your book, Stop Doing That Shit. And while I am more at peace with it, I just feel like something is still missing. She does not respect boundaries. I tried to make peace with that by viewing it as being her problem. Then she tramples my boundaries. I try to make her feel heard while reinforcing them in a loving manner. I am dead. I do lead with love and she explodes every damn time. I've tried to continue to be loving and she just gets more and more and more agitated by it until I decide I'm going to give her some space without making it an indefinite thing in my mind and hoping to be able to salvage the relationship. That doesn't work. She will go to everyone around me with false assumptions and just keep poking at me, involving them as a means to get into my safe place. Like I said, she just refuses to respect any boundary I try to set. I'm human, Gary, and there are times that I'm stumbling in my own personal life, trying to gather my bearings in order to pivot. And those are the times that I get to a point that I feel enough is enough and let her know that I just need her to please stop and give me a moment. She just goes harder until she gets a reaction. For example, the last time it ended in calling my significant other with her and her husband leaving a voicemail calling me a bitch who doesn't live in reality. over a text telling her that I appreciate her effort, but I had a lot going on and I didn't want to make my controlled chaos her problem. So I was going to give her a couple of weeks and try again, then thanked her again. We had just moved out of state. I was enrolling my kids in school and getting furniture for the place on a daily basis. She offered me a coffee table, then kept getting agitated about my availability for driving an hour each way to pick it up. So this goes on and on and on and on and on. I've changed my approach multiple times. I show appreciation and understanding for her feelings. It's never enough. I get that she's in the bubble, but man, is there ever going to be a point in time that it doesn't ever affect me or get under my skin? Right? So this is a great example of someone doing the work, right? And got some good results for herself, right? But the interesting thing is that there's like this lump that she can't quite get around, right? Fundamentally, what's at play here is you don't approve of the mother you've got. That's it. You don't approve of the mother you've got. You don't accept the mother you've got. And this is why it keeps jarring with you, right? You don't accept. And so what you've done is, so you keep going on about these boundaries, right? Which is just your way of separating yourself, right? Which I assert you've had something like that in your life for as long and as far back as you can remember. Now, as with every fucking time I talk about this subject, for everybody else who's just listening to this person, you'd be sitting there right now going, fucking hell. Her mother sounds like a fucking nightmare. And yeah, I mean, you'd just be better getting her out of your life, right? Which is usually the limit of the insight you'll get from somebody on fucking social media anyway. But so no, there's something incomplete here. There's some lump in the room between you and your mother. You resent her for something. You resent her for someone she was when you were young, for the way she was when you were young. And you resent her for all the ways that she wasn't when you were young. And so all of the personal growth work you've done is to try and cope with the narrative that you yourself built. So the narrative that you built about your mom, and you did that over many years, and you gathered evidence for it, and you're still gathering evidence for it. And all the work you're doing right now is to try and make that be different. Or in other words, make her be different rather than who she is. And who she is who she is. And who she is, by the way, is like the vast majority of the rest of the fucking planet, run by their own bullshit. Right? I mean, your relationship with her is clearly contentious. It's not you being all peace, love, and fucking understanding in this vicious woman. If I was to ask her, she would say it's not her experience of you. She turns to, your mom turns to anger and lashing out when her experience of you, I fucking guarantee you it's this. Her experience of you is that she can't connect with you. Like, but not, she can't, you know, you're like you said, you're leading with love, but for her, that's like a fucking foreign language. Right? So, you know, whatever, it's a classic example of what we talked about in the first part of the show. You're making changes and you just sound weirder and fucking weirder to her. So there's no tips to give you other than, you know, first of all, I'd say take away the words boundary. Stop fucking using those, right? Just stop saying that. Stop saying boundaries, right? First of all, they don't fucking work. It's all bullshit. And what I'm about to say, people might say, that's a boundary. No, it's fucking not. Okay? I know the fucking difference. I'm a long in the tooth with this stuff. You get to say how you want to live your life. You get to say how much you want to participate with her in that life, right? You get to create that and say that, right? And you get to say to her, look, this is who I am. And I get, you might not like that, and that's okay. I'm not making you like me or have me be a certain way. You know, that's how it is. But at the same time, she has your mom, you know, and that does matter. That stands for something. It's not a nothing. It is a something. The people who are most fucked up in this life are the ones who are incomplete with their parents. Period. People who are most fucked up in this life are the ones that are incomplete with their parents. So, you know, I've shared my insight, my story about my mom many, many, many times. I knew I was there when I didn't need her to be anything other than what she was. And there's a simple question that you can ask yourself over and over and over with a multitude of different answers until you get to the point with, oh, I'm actually fucking okay with you being that way. You can be that way. I'm actually fine with that. I'm not hanging on to anything about that. And it is the simple question of what's in the way. So in the moment you ask the question, you say, right now, what's in the way of accepting her just the way she is and just the way she's not right now? What's in the way? And if you let yourself be with that question, you'll see that there are things in the way. I'm telling you, for you, it's this kind of burning desire that she should be someone else. She should have been someone else. Part of that resentment might be that you feel as if you got cheated, or you feel as if you were robbed, or you feel as if you were deprived of the mother that you needed. And so, again, for all the work you've done, you're not okay with her being her. That's why you have to keep, you have to give me lots of story about it. You notice that? And so I actually chopped about, I mean, I literally chopped about two-thirds of that out. There's lots of story. There's lots of you justifying you. And you have to get the way you paint this. It's like, she's a fucking demon and I'm an angel. That's how it is for you in this situation. And this situation for you is like, I'm the good one and she's the fucking bad one. I guarantee you that's not how she sees it. It's not how she sees it. And I've got another little suspicion about the boundaries, by the way. Look, this work, I would say to you, is really, really fucking challenging, because to do my kind of work, you need to tell yourself the truth. Now, anybody who I've come across in my time talks like that's easy. They say like, oh, I'll fucking tell myself the truth. That's not a problem. No, it's a major fucking problem. And here's what makes that a major problem. You've had a lifetime of believing the lie. It's so ingrained with you. And when I say the lie, it's more like a pretense, right? It's more like lie, pretense, inauthenticity, all wrapped up in a story and a narrative about you, your life, and da-da-da-da-da. So the first thing I'd like to tell you, I'd like you to look at, right, is when you talk about the boundaries and drawing a line with her and pushing her back, you justify it by saying, this is for me and what I need and what I want. But there's another part to that. Now, I don't know if you know there's another part to that, but there is. And I mean, I'll give you a hint. It's some form of punishment to her. Whatever she did or didn't do is still rattling around in your cage. And that's why you are the way you are with her. Still rattling around in your cage. I don't know. And I don't know what age. Could have been 8, 10, 12, 14, whatever it was. Some narrative that started around in that little cesspool there about you and your mom. And you've never got over whatever you told yourself at that time. And so you're still in this, like, sounds to me a little like you've kind of, I'm going to make a little assertion here, right? I think it is like, when you were young, you felt as if she was irresponsible. So you can kind of hear and your explanation, like, you've become the responsible one. It's like almost like you've turned into the kind of maternal figure here. And she is still this person that she was all that time ago. Like I said, you didn't get the mom you thought you should. And so you're stuck with this one. But this one is just an enigma wrapped up in a fucking story. You don't really relate to the real person. You don't know what hurts her. You don't know what all of that's really about, the way she interacts with you. What's that really all about? Now, somebody might say, well, it's all about control. Yeah, but control is all about fear. So what's she afraid of? Like, really, what's she afraid of? So reading between the lines, and again, I didn't get a lot from you, but you kind of get the ontology, right? When somebody tells you about something, you get the ontology of the ways of being that are being brought forth here. You can generally get a good sense of where that's coming from, right? What's that born out of? Yeah. With your mom, it's like a loss of control. And with you, it's like this. She should be different. And that's the crux of the disconnect between you both. You got to do that work. If you haven't read Grow Up yet, read that fucking book, Becoming the Parent Your Kids Deserve. I think you'll find it very valuable. There's work and do the work. The book Do the Work, there is work in there where you actually start to come to terms with the view that you've been hanging on to about her. And if you haven't shaken that view that yet, you haven't got to the bottom of it. Okay, you might quote unquote understand it, but it hasn't rocked you. And part of the reason why it hasn't rocked you, I believe, is because you haven't faced the damage you're doing by hanging on to this view. The damage you're doing to yourself, the damage you're doing to your relationship with your mom, the damage that it creates in other areas of your life, the kind of frustration, anger, resentment, like what all that does to you, what that's like for you to fucking live with all of that daily, every 2 days. And again, most people would say, oh, well, the answer is cut her out. But I think you know that that's not the answer for you. I think that would break your fucking heart. So it's not an answer for you. So anyway, there you are. You have a mom that you wish you didn't have, and she's driven by fear and probably her own resentment about the life that she never had, that she felt she should have had. Hers was more than her youth and adult life. Yours was your childhood. You got to dig deeper. That's simply what this comes down to. You got to fucking dig deeper until you're at the point where you can own how this relationship is and you can fully accept her for all that she is, not just the bits that you want. You got to accept her for the whole fucking thing. And yeah, you do get to say what you want when you want it, right? You get to say that. You also get to say, I'm here, I'm available, and blah, 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 blah. But when it gets to this kind of stuff, yeah, I'm not going to hang around for that. But that doesn't mean to say we're done. I'm not judging you. That's just how it is. Make sense? And I'm not giving you like the perfect fairy tale ending here. There's work to be done. Okay? And I know that's a very kind of generic thing to say, but it's just the fucking truth. And every book that I've written is just, you know, dripping in the kind of work that needs to be done. So you got to dig a little deeper. You got to remove that fucking, this bullshit about boundaries. I think it's about punishment. You might say otherwise. You'll say something like protection or self-preservation. It's not. That's front of the hand, back of the hand, right? Front of the hand is self-preservation. Back of the hand is fuck you, back off. Like that. All right, we're going to leave it on that note for this week. Again, that person who left the message, great fucking question, great conundrum in terms of the rest of the nation, because, you know, I think everybody else needs to get the upsets in your life are a function of what you're still hanging on to, even though you might think you're not. You might like, no, I'm not hanging on to anything. Yet here it is. It still fucking persists. It's resistance, 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 resistance. And you end up living with that. And even if you're all fucking peace, love, and harmony, it's still fucking resistance. All right. That's going to be it for this week. Again, if you want to be a part of the show, if you've got a question, 646-450-3203, or connect at GaryJohnBishop.com. Also, check out the Unfuck store. We still have some merch left. So get over there, get yourself a t-shirt, sweatshirt, whatever else we got over there. We got some really cool designs too. And yeah, I'll see you on the flip side. Have a great one.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.